as we were discussing earlier, obviously, energy is one of those things that always gets a lot of focus, both by lawmakers as well as the public. We were talking earlier about the Keystone XL pipeline. And so to talk a little bit about energy this morning, Matt Cook joins us. Matt is a vice president with the U.S. Chamber's Institute for 21st Century Energy. He joins us on the line. How are you this morning, Matt?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Maybe tell us a little bit about the Institute for 21st Century Energy and why it was established by the Chamber of Commerce.
Sure. It was established about 7 years ago when a number of energy companies and another number of other corporations and companies from across other sectors had really decided that and discussed that the Chamber had to have a better focus on energy issues and talking about the positive benefits of energy. Because, as you know, not only just consumers, but every sector of the U.S. economy is affected by energy, and it's one of the building blocks of an economy. And this is, interestingly, it was well before a lot of this great energy boom that's going on in our country right now was happening. But it was really to get more focus and really to talk positive about all aspects of energy. We go out and promote the benefits of oil and gas and coal and nuclear energy as well as alternatives. So we do a lot of neat things, and we have an opportunity to go out and promote what we can do here in the United States.
Let's talk a little bit, because I know there are some very specific recommendations that your group has made of things that we should be doing. Wonder maybe if we were to pick some of the largest things that you think we ought to be doing, either in terms of policy or projects, what would they be, Matt?
First is to streamline some of the regulatory processes for permitting. The amount of time in Keystone is probably one of the worst case examples, but to take 5 years, to take that amount of time or longer to get an important energy product permitted is really shameful. It shouldn't take that long. It shouldn't take that long to align what needs to be done at the state and federal and local level. I think that's one of the main ones. I think another one would be just to simply look at the heavy burden of regulations in general, and to start to get a better handle on what's going on there and what's going on with places like EPA and what's happening with their reach into every aspect of energy and every other sorts of business in the world, and sometimes setting up false expectations and false understanding of what and what cannot be done. We look at some of the policies that they're putting forward are based on technologies that don't exist yet, and there has to be a re-examining that and a better alignment.
11 minutes past 7, Matt Cook is our guest. He's with the Institute for 21st Century Energy. You're talking about regulation, and it seems like we're hearing about that all the time. And, the impact of regulation, we know certainly you mentioned the EPA, and we know here in South Dakota what impact EPA regs have on, for instance, on agriculture. What are some of the real difficulties that's causing for energy?
I know in your part of the state, there's a lot of coal being developed and used in other parts of the Midwest and throughout our country. Just recently, the EPA has promoted and put forward some new proposed regulations on electricity development and electricity generation. And, they've started to clamp down on the types of resources that you can use in new power plants, but now it looks like they're going to be going after, we feel, the further reach into the use of coal in existing power plants. And we think that's problematic. That's one example, again, of a technology. There's expectations and hope written into these rules that you're going to have to use technologies like carbon capture and storage that aren't yet commercially viable, and that's real problematic. That's just one example, and those sorts of things impact people every day. They're going to be retiring these plants, or companies are going to be taking them offline, and some of these plants have been paid for a long time and provide really low-cost, cheap power to not only commercial and manufacturers, but also to consumers. And at the end of the day, natural gas is another cheap resource, but we have a lot of coal, and we use it very well. But, that conversion from coal to natural gas is expensive. And, you know, we really believe that we need to use all these resources and have the ability to be flexible and take advantage of all of them.
Let's talk a little bit about the Keystone XL pipeline. Obviously, that's had a lot of attention here in South Dakota. You mentioned how difficult it's been, the permit processing there. What do you see as the benefits of being able to move that project forward?
You know, there's a lot of benefits, and you know, if you look back to 5 years ago when they first started looking at the project, the facts are all still there. This is a tremendous economic opportunity for our country, not only for the jobs that it's going to create in over a few-year period, but in the long term, from the energy that's being brought down, not only here to the United States, but from the development up in Canada. You know, we export a lot of goods and services up into Alberta and the rest of Canada that are going to benefit from this continued expansion. But more immediately, if you want to talk about numbers, in the State Department's own analysis, one that recently came out at the end of January, they talk about 42,000 jobs being created, both directly and indirectly, from the construction of the pipeline alone, and about $2 billion in earnings. Which most of it, or a good portion of it, is going to go to states like South Dakota and Montana and Nebraska, where the construction is going. But also a good portion of that, probably almost 60% or so, is going to go to states outside of the region that are supplying other goods and services into the economic activity and the construction of the pipeline. So that alone is significant. In your state, you're going to have a lot of property taxes being paid. You're going to have a lot of sales tax being paid. And you know, that's all important. It is important not just during the construction, but it's going to enable you to have new revenue coming into your local and state governments. It's going to help pay for everything from police and fire services to construction of new schools, we hope, and roads and bridges and some of those other sorts of things that are needed.
15 minutes past 7, Matt Cook joins us. He's the vice president of the Institute for 21st Century Energy of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. I know one of the other things your group is talking about is we need to open up access to some of the oil resources on federal lands.
Absolutely. You know, you hear all about all this really exciting things that are happening in the energy sector, and many of it due to great advancements in innovation and technology that you know, we can only do here in America, and whether it's an alternative energy or an oil and gas. But more specifically, you're just south of a state that's having a great economic boom with the Bakken oil shale, and similarly, there's new developments that have been happening for a number of years in places like Pennsylvania and Ohio that have never experienced quite the energy boom that you've seen around near you. But that's all happens because of technology. It's all happening because of businesses' ability to get at these resources. But the most interesting thing is when you're hearing some of these politicians, including our president, go around and talk about what they've done in order to make this happen. It's not happening on federal lands. All this development and all these new exciting resources that are being utilized are all happening on state and private lands. There's a lot of, particularly west of the Mississippi, that, you know, there's a good portion of your land that's covered by, in one shape or form, by some sort of a federal oversight, and many of those lands are off limits for resource development, and particularly oil and gas.
Matt, for people, maybe you want more information about your group and looking, you know, to learn a little bit more about energy, what can they do?
You could go to our website. We have a lot of great information there on everything, as we talked about just now, that technologies, the development of fossil energy alternatives, energy efficiency, even things about, you know, trying to develop more better students working on, and who can better come out and work in the energy sector. Our website's www.energyxxi.org.
Matt, thanks so much again. Matt Cook is the vice president of the Institute for 21st Century Energy, and we hope to have you back.
I'd love to be back on. I appreciate it and having me on. It sounds like you have a little warmer weather there this morning in Sioux Falls than we do here in Washington. And one of these days, I'd like to get back up there again, and maybe we can visit.
Yeah, that sounds great. Thanks so much, Matt. We really appreciate your time.
Thanks again for having me.
You betcha. That's Matt Cook. Again, he's the vice president of the Institute for 21st Century Energy, and that's an effort of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.